the way that we pray, and prayer changes us. And so he talks about the proper way to pray. He talks about whether to do it in secret or in public. Again, do you pray for show, or do you pray to communicate with God? And so some of you were part of the prayer walk that we had Saturday, and Daniel's son, Gary, who turned 12 today, was part of that prayer time, and he got real nervous. Now, Gary has prayed here in front of the whole church before, and so it wasn't the crowd, but it was that there were people he knew, but there were a lot of people he didn't know, and all of a sudden he got real nervous about it. And so I just reminded him, Gary, you don't have to be nervous, because you're not talking to them anyhow. When you pray, you're talking to God. I remember the story. Actually, there's several different versions of stories where somebody's praying and somebody says, "Well, I can't hear you," and the person praying says, "Well, I wasn't talking to you." Yeah. I'm talking to God. That's who this is for. That's who I'm communicating with. You know, and that's what I tell him and other when I teach children to pray, is that, you know, you've heard me say it when I'm with the kids. I say, bow your head, close your eyes, open your heart, and just talk to God. Just talk to Him. Let Him hear you. Communicate with Him. It's nothing special. There's no certain language you use when you pray. And the good news is, you say, well, I don't even know what to say. I don't even know what to ask for. The good news is, as from this scripture, what does he say? He says he already knows what you need before you even ask him. He's a good father who wants to bless you and care for you and provide what is needed. But you need to do it. But you don't do it for show. You don't do it to impress people. You do it. And that's why, for me, some of the most powerful prayers I've ever heard have been voiced by people in simple language. They're not flowery or showy. They're simply talking to God. And I've heard so many children make such powerful prayers, and I've heard others. The second church that I pastored, one of my deacons who I was very close to, and again, remember, I was just a young, by the time I was at Bethel, I had aged all the way to about 23 years of age. And one of my deacons was a guy named Clyde. Clyde was in his 80s. Clyde didn't read very well, but he taught one of our adult Sunday school classes, because his wife would read the lesson to him over and over and over again, so that by the time Sunday came, he had memorized the lesson and he would teach it. And every afternoon, Clyde would sit on his porch and he would pray for his pastor. And those are some of the most powerful prayers, knowing that he did it, but the once or twice where I was there and he actually prayed over me. And there never was any pretentiousness about Clyde Travis. But Clyde Travis touched the throne of God when he prayed. Second grade education in his 80s. But he spoke to God. And that's, if I wanted anybody in my life to pray for, it was Clyde Travis. And that's what we need to be. And not, again, on show or to pat somebody on the back, but to do the right thing, to touch God, to follow God. And so we do things for the right motive. We pray with the right motive. We give to the poor with the right motive. We do other acts of righteousness for the right motive. I was reading one of Swindoll's books this week, and I ran into another story that he encountered that really wasn't in any of my study for tonight, but just ran across it and was just intrigued by it and thought about it here. And he told the story of Lord Randolph Churchill of Scotland. And Lord Randolph Churchill was headed to make a speech. This was in the 19th century, the 1800s. And he got stuck in the mud on his way to make his speech. And an old Scottish farm boy with a team of horses came by and pulled him out. But he was stuck good. It took an hour and a half for this young man to hook up his horses to his wagon and get him pulled out. He was dirty and all that by the time it was over with. And he looked at the lad and said, "Lad, how much do I owe you?" And the farm boy, who could have used the money, said, "Nothing, sir. I was just glad to help you. I just want to fulfill the golden rule and do what I can to serve you." And so Churchill looked at him and said, "What do you want to be when you grow up?" And he said, "I'd like to be a doctor." Well, Churchill kept up with the little Scottish farm boy. And when he grew of the age to go to the university to become a doctor, Churchill paid for the farm boy to go to school. The boy's name was Alexander Fleming. 50 years later, because Churchill had been pretty young when this happened, he was sick in Morocco with an infection and wasn't expected to live. And the doctors administered a new drug that had just been discovered named penicillin, which, by the way, was discovered by Andrew Fleming, the little Scottish farm boy. So when you do the right thing, when you show compassion, when you show generosity, you never know what God is going to do with that. Well, he didn't just tell them about praying. Jesus then showed them how to pray. And he demonstrated it with what we call the model prayer, the Lord's Prayer. And so look at it with me real quickly. Verse 9, then this is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. Lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And then he went on to say, for if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Now, the first thing that he tells us, that this teaches us, he begins with our Father in heaven. Our Father who art in heaven. And so the first thing that we need to remember when we pray that I think Jesus models for us here is we need to remember who we're talking to. We need to know who we're talking to. You ever get a phone call and you don't know who's on the other line? And they don't identify themselves? It happens to me. And so if you ever call me and you hear me say, "Well, friend," or "How are y'all," you know, or something like that, you know it may be because I don't really know who I'm talking to. All right? And I'm just waiting for them to give me something in the conversation that I'll be able to identify them. So identify yourself. It's important to know who you're talking to. And here, Jesus says, our Father. And the word that's actually used here is the word Abba. Now, and this is Aramaic that Abba comes from. Which again is derivative of Hebrew, but the word Av, like Abraham, is father. That's the Hebrew word for father. And Abba would kind of be what we would call daddy, papa. And so he reminds us that who we're talking to is someone who loves us and someone who wants to give good gifts to us. You know, Jesus tells us that. If earthly men know how to give their Father good gifts, surely our Father in heaven knows how to give us good gifts, right? Abba, our Father. But he also, he doesn't just say daddy, he doesn't just say father, but he says our Father who is in heaven. And so what we need to remember is we're talking to a daddy who loves us. We're also talking to about the daddy who is sovereign Lord of the whole universe. So it's important we remember both of those things. That it's a Father who loves us, but it's also a God who is sovereign over all things, who can do all things. So we're not just talking to somebody who loves us, but we're talking to somebody who can do something about it, whatever it is. So recognize who you're talking to. The second part of that, he says, is recognize his holiness and worship his holiness. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. And what that literally means is holy be your name. Holy. And remember what holy is. Holy is different. God is holy. He is different from everything else and every other person. He's not like us. He's not like the other gods, the pagan gods. God is different. He is holy. And so we speak to him with praise. We speak to him with worship. I often talk about we enter into prayer. And again, Peter Lorden, he had five parts of prayer. And the first two were praise and thanksgiving. That's two different parts. Praise is when we praise God for who he is. Thanksgiving is when we thank him for what he's done for us. And that's how we do. Remember what the psalmist said. We enter into his courts with praise. And to his gates with thanksgiving. That's how our prayers should always begin. And praise, Peter Lord used to say, praise is my response to the person, presence, position, power, greatness, majesty, and love of God. That's what our praise is, of who he is and what he is. And so we worship his holiness. And then, as we've talked about, we submit to his will. He says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In other words, we, as I had already talked about it, we pray not to change God, but to change us. We pray for his kingdom to come. We pray for him to be the king of our lives. For his kingdom to come in us. So that we recognize his authority and his will. And so we live for him. Sometimes we act like God's will ruin our life. Remember, you know, there used to be a song Scott Wester Brown did that talked about he was afraid to pray God's will be done because he thought God would send him to Africa. And so we need to remember to pray for God's will, and what we need are God's plans, God's direction, God. To show us what our goal should be, what his will for us is. Because his way is always better than ours. It's always better than ours. And so we pray for his will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. But then, so we recognize who we're talking to, we worship his holiness, we submit to his will. Then that we ask for what we need. And there are three things that he kind of identifies there. He asks for what we need today. And what do we need today? We need our daily bread. We need our daily provision. God, we need you to take care of our needs today. Whatever it is we need. We don't need extra for tomorrow. We just need you to take care of what we need today. That's what he provides for us. That's his provision. So we ask for what we need today, his daily provision. We ask for what we need for our past. Well, what do we need from our past? We need forgiveness for our past. Look at what he does. He says, give us today our daily bread and forgive our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. And again, we kind of already, we run into this again at the end. He says, because if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive you. And of course, my mind immediately goes to the parable of the rich debtor. Who, when his debt was forgiven, still tried to claim the debt of someone who owed him much less. So we ask for what we need today. We ask for forgiveness for our past failures. And then we ask for future protection. Look at what he says. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Protect us. Protect us tomorrow. Protect us from ourselves. Protect us from temptation. Protect us from the evil one and all of his dominion. Protect us. And so provision today, forgiveness for yesterday, protection for tomorrow. And then he ends, and I know they're not in the words that I just read here in the NIV. If you're reading from a King James or a New King James, they're probably there, and you know the words because that's how we're taught to say the Lord's Prayer. It's not in the NIV because it's not in the oldest Greek manuscripts. But it was one of the doxologies of the early church and is obviously important for us to even include. And you know how that says, is yours is the kingdom, yours is the power, yours is the glory forever. Amen. And so we need to remember that truth as we pray. That it is his kingdom, it's not ours. And I actually talked to the staff about this in our staff meeting on Tuesday, that as we meet to plan things for the new year, for us to remember this isn't our church, it's his church. We're not building our kingdom, we're building his kingdom. This isn't about heritage, this isn't about Team Unite, this is about God and his kingdom, his church. And so we remember that it's his kingdom, not ours. And so we lift that up. We also need to remember that it's done and built by his power, not ours. Sometimes we think it's all about us. It's not. It's all about him. The things that we do that really matter are not done by us, but the Holy Spirit in us. It's not done by us, it's done by God working in our midst. It's not our power. Our power can't save anybody. Our power can't bring revival. Our power can't change the world, but his can. And so it's his kingdom and it's built by his power working in us. And again, it's not built for us to be known, for us to have a good reputation, for people to say, oh, look at that church. Or look at that pastor. It's built so that it'll bring glory to God. It's his kingdom. It's his power. It's for his glory forever and ever. Amen. Well, I thought I'd get to the next five verses. I really like the next five verses. It talks about your treasure, but also when to expect it. But we're not going to talk about the next five verses Sunday, but we are going to talk about the verses right after that, which includes don't worry. So don't worry about Sunday morning sermon. Just be here. Just be here to hear it. Right? Just be here to hear it. All right? Don't worry. That may be a... never mind. I'm not going to say it.
We're supposed to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. What would be a good definition of the kingdom of God?
The kingdom of God and what is the kingdom of righteousness? That's a good question. The kingdom of God, to me, is... the kingdom of God is his kingdom, is his church, and his agenda for the world. The kingdom of righteousness is doing the right thing because of his impact on us.
Yeah, I was thinking it's like an eternal spiritual kingdom where God rules and those who will live
ask him into his heart. Well, and the way we build the kingdom of God, and I might read this because I really liked it. It's understanding and knowing. The kingdom of righteousness is being, again, concerned about the right thing. And things that are eternal and matter. And this eternal kingdom. And talking about this, James Merritt said it this way, Brother Frederick. He said, it's the difference between owning a car and leasing a car. That's what life is. Every one of us have life on a lease. And when the lease is up, whether you want it or not, you got to turn everything back in. You can't take any of it with you. You can't keep any of it. You don't get to keep it because it's not yours. It's God's.
Like it says in Ephesians, then shall the dust return unto the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it.
That's it. And so it's his. And so that's part of that seeking the kingdom, seeking things that are eternal. And that's how that is the right motivation, that you're not doing it. Because that's really what that section is talking about, is the need for the difficulty of greed and I'll read one other statistic that I had for that section. Actually, James Dobson tells a story that a pastor in Africa in a small village was asked about what is greatest obstacle was, and this was a village that had no electricity, no running water, and so he asked the pastor what his greatest obstacle with reaching people with the gospel were, and this African pastor said, materialism. And he says, what do you mean? You don't have anything. And he says, sure. He said, the man that has a mud hut wants a stone hut. The man who has a thatch roof wants a tin roof. The man who has 1 acre wants 2 acres. The man who has 1 cow wants 2 cows. He said, materialism is a disease of the heart. It has nothing to do with what you have or where you live. And so he's saying, I need my people to seek after God and the things that are really valuable and not just stuff.
Well, as born again believers, then we're part of the kingdom of God now.
Yes, ma'am. And the kingdom of God to come. Yeah. All right, well, let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word. And Father, help us to live life because we love you and we want to please you. Father, not for attention we may get or for our own fame or reputation, but for you and your kingdom, that we would do things that would make your name known, that we would do things that would bring glory and honor to you, that we would live in such a way that it would build your kingdom. And Father, that we would pray in such a way that our lives are changed and we submit to your will, to do your will on this earth like it's done in heaven. And Father, we know that this is your kingdom. And we know it's been built by your power and your work in us. And we ask it to be for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Love you. I'll see you Sunday.